B-Pod Studios.
He was at 97.5 The Fanatic well before anybody here. He is, of course, from ESPN and us, Tim McManus, T-Mac. What's up, T-Mac?
That was a nice combo going on there yesterday, the cake and the champagne.
Right?
That's the rich life, baby.
That was all right, man. That's it.
Cake, champagne, and football season, brother. It doesn't go any better than that, does it?
That's a combo right there.
Oh, man. Speaking of a combo, Tim, how about a combination of three road games in a row, starting off with Minnesota this week? Boy, it's this is the teeth of the schedule beginning.
Yeah, and it's the Phillies' fault. You guys are aware of that?
So is that really true? This is a true statement? I didn't know that. Tell the audience, because I heard rumors. I didn't know that that was actually real.
It actually is real. I mean, it's not the only reason that they're on the road for the bulk of October, but it was a factor when the schedule makers were putting it together. And the Eagles are the only team in the NFL this season that have three consecutive road games without a bye. And part of the thinking from the schedule makers is they thought the Phillies were going to be relevant and contenders. And so they put on what they called a stadium block for the bulk of October so that there wouldn't be a scheduling conflict in South Philly. So instead, the Phillies fizzled out to that 81-81 finish, and South Philly's going to be a ghost town while the Eagles are on the road for what Jason rightly put out is the teeth of this schedule. It's no easy thing. And it's, the Phillies factored into that decision-making for sure.
You know what's amazing to me? It's not like they haven't, if they played the same building, I would understand. But it's not like they've had conflicts before. Are you serious? One of the great memories of 09 was the Eagles-Giants and the Phillies-Yankees World Series game at night.
And Pearl Jam.
Right, but that actually influenced their decision for this time around, because in 09 they had to change the time of that Giants game. If that was originally a 4:30 game, they had to move it to the 1 o'clock, and they didn't want to be doing those scheduling gymnastics. So that 09, while it was one of the great days in Philadelphia sports history, actually kind of factored into why they wanted to avoid it this time around.
I just don't understand, because it's you can handle both a Phillies game and the Eagles game.
I typically agree with you. There's there's seven or eight cities that have the similar deal going on where they share a common footprint and common municipal services.
Parking.
Of course, you look at Oakland, that's the one exception where they actually share a stadium, and that's why the Raiders are away for the entire month of October.
Right.
They're in London, they're on a bye, then they have two road games, but I agree. I mean, it's something that you could juggle if you really wanted to.
I'll tell you what, the schedule makers didn't do a good job of looking at the Phillies' history.
You know what
I
mean? Right.
I hate to take a shot at him today on the day that they're having their press conference to announce that the manager's fired, but I digress. Tim, where are we at on the injury front? What's the deal with Sidney Jones? It looks like he's a go, but is that a good thing?
Well, that's to be determined. I mean, I think that Peterson talking about Jones this week has been really interesting, and there's been different interpretations of, is he down on him? What's he trying? Is he trying to deliver a message? And I don't really feel like it's a negative thing that Peterson has been pointing out, but he elaborated more on it today, just basically saying that there's this mental hurdle that guys who've been dealing with injuries just kind of have to push through, this acceptance of, pain or injury situations, and that you have to break through this threshold. And I think that, the Eagles and Eagles fans have been waiting for that to happen with Jones. I mean, this is a case where I think it'll make you think twice almost about drafting somebody who's coming in with a major injury. Because, of course, the thought was, all right, well, he's a first-round talent. You get him in the second round, that'll turn out to be good value in the long run. But there's a lot to account for in those kind of situations, including the fact that, this guy psychologically hasn't been able to, be himself because of the physical limitations, since he got into the league. So you're transitioning to the league, got major injuries, other ones creep up, and it's been a kind of a bad deal for the Eagles and Jones. But here's a spot where the hamstring seems to be getting better, where they're down some cornerbacks, they're going in against some good receivers, and this is a spot where he could maybe start to turn this thing around. So I don't know whether it's good or not. I mean, history says it's not good, but this is a young talent who they still believe in, who they're gonna roll out there on Sunday and see what he's got.
All right, so do me a favor and try to allay some of my fears for Sunday. Because I don't feel, I worry about the matchup against that team. And I know people go, well, you know, it's Cousins, you can pressure Cousins. But they are a two-fold team where they can, you know, they have a great run game. And those receivers, I know they have had issues and they're grumbling, grousing. But those two receivers against the Eagles' corners, I mean, that scares the daylights out of me.
Yeah, a couple things. With Cousins, you know, he has a good history against the Eagles, actually. You know, he's 5-3 lifetime, but his touchdowns, he's got 17 of them, and that's five more than he has against any other team in the NFL. So he comes and he plays typically pretty well, including in a last year Minnesota win at the Link, where he was completing a high percentage of his throws. And the other thing that kind of threw me off is, you know, I'm thinking this guy is somebody that crumbles under pressure. And then I looked at his numbers, and like his completion rate since he came into the league in 2012 is like the third highest in the NFL when he's facing pressure. I was amazed by that.
Wow.
So that was surprising to me. But he can throw some interceptions in those scenarios. And I really do feel like, you know, this game is going to be dictated, of course, whether Cousins shows up like he has in the past against Philly, but more specifically, whether the defensive line can take advantage of what is probably the best matchup for the Eagles on this day, and that is the defensive front against the Minnesota offensive line. If they can get pressure, if they can disrupt what Minnesota is trying to do offensively, if they can prevent Thielen and Diggs from having extra time to get open against what we've seen as a weakened secondary and cornerback group specifically, if they have that time, it's going to be a long day for Philly. I mean, so I think that the fears get alleviated if the defensive line can show up like it did last week against New York and put some pressure on Cousins and get him on his back.
All right, so I'm sorry, Jay, two quick follow-up because I'm interested in that D-line in that front. Do they do BG inside? I mean, he talked at length about how much he loved playing inside, kind of NASCAR package type. Do they go Deshaun Hall? Like, what do you kind of see that front, Jim doing with that front?
Yeah, I think he's going to kick Brandon Graham inside. And one thing that you can question or criticize Schwartz for is that he didn't do that very much over the first handful of games, even when Malik Jackson went out with the injury, where it seemed kind of natural because Graham has operated extraordinarily well from inside, including during the Super Bowl. And you saw a lot of that last week where he set a career high for sacks in a game with three of them, and Schwartz was kind of slow to do that, but the evidence is there. I mean, kick him inside. You know, that's where you're going to generate a lot of the juice. Your point to Deshaun Hall, I mean, he had seven snaps last week, and he had a tackle for a loss and a sack in his own right. I would sprinkle him in a little bit more, and I also think that Josh Sweat is starting to come into his own a bit as well. So I like what I'm seeing, kind of the signs are getting emitted from the defensive front. And a lot of that, I believe, is related to Fletcher Cox, who hasn't shown up on the stat sheet, but is starting to assert himself more inside. And I think that's having a good effect across the front overall.
Hey, Tim, we're talking with Tim McManus, ESPN.com on the Comcast Business Hotline. Tim, you're in that locker room. You've been in that locker room through a lot of different situations over many years now. Is there a sense of almost like, okay, let's reset here at this point in the season? We kind of survived our bumps and bruises through the first five games, yet we're still exactly tied at the top of this division with the biggest rival who we'll see next week. Is this kind of like a reset? Like, okay, this is where it really begins, and the run for that NFC East championship begins this weekend?
I think that you're seeing certainly some confidence that's been building up. I think that, you know, I noticed it on the defense in particular, where they're starting to, it all starts with Fletcher Cox. Like, you just see him out on the practice field during warm-ups today, and he's off to, you know, like, dancing. And the way that he's interacting in the locker room is that there's, like, a lighter presence about him, and you're seeing that combined with the way that he's starting to get back to his old form. The way, of course, the game that they're coming off of, I think, gives you this huge wave where there's not necessarily carryover from one game to the next, but, you know, confidence is a real thing. And there can be a snowball effect when it comes to sacks. And I do feel like their spirits and their confidence is starting to peak here a little bit, and probably at a really good time, to your point, given that they're going on the road for this three-game gauntlet. So I do kind of get that sense that, you know, the vibe that's being generated from the defense in particular is probably about as positive as I've seen it this season.
All right.
That's a good time for it.
Yeah, I think you're right. Ultimately, what do you kind of feel? Because do you think that Minnesota, from what I saw, interior part of that line's not that good. So if it's going to happen, it's going to happen from the inside, you think?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think like this is going to be one in the, you know, late in the fourth quarter. Everybody's probably going to be sweating. And it comes down to like a play or, you know, a field goal. Does it go in? Does it go out? Like, I think it's going to be that kind of game. I believe that they're going up against a really good defense. And if you look at what they're doing, whether it's against the pass, whether it's against the run, you know, keeping points off the board, and Minnesota has been doing it all. I think that it's a tough matchup without DeSean Jackson. I'm not expecting the Eagles to put up a bunch of points. And right now I have Minnesota as a 2-point win. You know, but it could very easily be an Eagles 1-point victory. I mean, it's going to be that kind of game, I think, where you're teetering sort of on the edge for the entire time. And, you know, maybe it comes down to a Jake Elliott field goal at the end. I think it's going to be that kind of game that's going to come down to the wire, man. I think it's going to be a good one.
Hey, Tim, last thing. Is there any kind of, have they tipped their hand to any kind of provision that they're going to handle these three straight road games from a practice standpoint or do anything differently? We know a couple years ago they were out in L.A. and they stayed out there. That made sense with L.A. and Seattle. Obviously not going to stay somewhere with these games in the proximity. But that being said, is there any kind of difference in the way Doug's going to handle things? He always seems to have his kind of finger on the pulse of what his team needs at the right time.
No, that's a good question. And we did ask him that. And he said he's going to keep it pretty much the way that he has because he only has two. He's traveling out of the time zone. They're both Central Time games, and then of course the one in upstate New York. So it's not like they have to go West Coast. It's not, you know, there's no thoughts about having to stay over anywhere. Then maybe they go a little bit lighter in practice, like on Wednesdays. We've seen that trend with him, given all the road wear and tear that they'll be doing over the next 3 weeks. But otherwise, it's going to be business as usual from Peterson's perspective.
All right. Hey, Tim, great stuff as always.
You're the best, buddy.
We'll be reading you on ESPN.com and the OG, checking out.
There you go. Always a pleasure, boys. Enjoy the game.
Thanks, T-Mac.
Tim McManus on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.